Welcome to Life Church Birmingham. We are glad you have listened today. We know God has a plan and purpose for your life and want to help you be successful in Jesus Christ. We know you will receive a message of hope and encouragement.
We're starting a new series called Arrival, and we anticipate the celebration of the arrival of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And as you turn to Isaiah chapter 9, just a quick update on our Next Gen campaign. You know that I've shared with this over the last few weeks and just wanted to give you an update. We have a goal to raise $100,000 in order to fill in some holes in the budget as well as pay for some things that we got caught off guard with. But I tell you that your giving, everyone knows the way we can give away 35 tons of food for just a few bucks, really, is because we have an infrastructure to do that with. Come on. That someone puts tires on the van, someone bought the trailer, someone pays the insurance, someone pays electricity for the deep freezer, someone, you know, pays the insurance, all that's made available. And so I challenge you, I just want to give you an update on where we are with that. So far today, we've received over $28,000 towards that goal. And I just want to say thank you. Come on. That's good news. So thank you for your giving. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7 says this: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called," say it with me, "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Can we pray together? Grab your Bibles. If you have them on your digital device, hold them. Father, we thank you for the written word that speaks to us. It is alive. It is sharp. It cuts both ways. It's a two-edged sword. It divides. It corrects. It trains in righteousness. It rebukes us. It teaches us how to follow you. So this morning, I pray that you would flip the lights on and you would illuminate the word so we could see it, hear it, and receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. A kindergarten teacher was observing her classroom. The children were drawing pictures. She came across this little girl who was working very diligently on her drawing. The teacher said, "Hey, what are you drawing?" She said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." The teacher paused and said, "Well, no one knows what God looks like. How would you draw a picture of God?" The little girl looked up, smiled, replied, "They will in a minute." That's the story of Christmas. That's the story of Christmas. That the Bible, Isaiah, paints a picture. What does God look like? What does it look like for God to come to the earth? And throughout the centuries, many people believed in God. They didn't know what God was like, and then Jesus was born. And we learn what God was like. He's a wonderful counselor. He's mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I want to talk to you about the arrival of peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. The peace of Christ rule in your hearts is Christmas. We all know what peace means. It's quiet, calm, no worry, a period of freedom from war or violence. Isaiah, the ancient prophets prophesying about the Messiah that would come, God's own son. He says, "For to us a child is born. To us a son is given." A child is born, a real child, a real birth. A real birth at a real time. He had a real birthday at a real time. A real birth at a real time. To real parents, Mary and Joseph were real people. Mary, God's chosen woman to carry the Son of God. Joseph, Mary's husband, Jesus' earthly father. A real birth at a real time to real parents and a real place called Bethlehem. Bethlehem could use the Prince of Peace right now. I want you to write down three things. Number one, God's peace is personal. His peace is personal. His peace is relational in nature. His peace is personal. Colossians 3 verse 15 says this, that the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let's read that together on the count of three. One, two, three. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That's what Paul says in Colossians. It's about a relationship, a closeness, a close, accessible, a friend for you, beside you, with you, not leaving you, comforting you, building you, lifting you up. And Isaiah prophesies, he spoke about this Messiah that would come. He was prophesying about a real event in real time. Would come a time when God would send the Messiah. He would come as a baby, born into humanity. He will be all God and all man, 100% of each, a miraculous interruption in human history. The most significant event in the history of the universe. Isaiah has an interesting way of announcing the Messiah that would come. He says, for to us a child is born. For to us a son is given. He would be born a son, God's son. The birth would be different. This one would be different. His conception would be supernatural, a miraculous conception, a virgin birth. He will come that way. Remember, some of you might know the story. The angel in Luke chapter 1 who visits Mary. He visits Mary and he says, hey, Mary, don't be afraid. I imagine the angel said that probably because it would be startling to have an angel appear before you. He said, don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God. You found favor with God, and behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call him Jesus. The angel's telling Mary, this will happen, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Mary knew exactly what that meant. She knew who David was. Every little Jewish girl and little Jewish boy knew who David was. Everyone knew David was. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there's no end. And Mary said, okay, Mr. Angel, how's this going to work? I'm not even married. I'm still a virgin. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy. He'll be set apart. He'll be the Son of God. Christ has been born to us. To us. Christ has been given to us. It's personal. His peace is personal. And God wants you to know that Jesus has been born to us, to you, to me, to us, to humanity. He's been given to us. He's a gift born, given to us. This is a personal statement, a gift given to us. I happened to be home that day about 3:20, 3:30 in the afternoon. And the little yellow school bus pulled up in our across the street right in front of our house, and out bounces, at the time, our third grade son, Zach. He's now 21, 210 pounds. He says he's in a bulking phase. I would agree with him. He's in a bulking phase. I happened to be home. I saw him. He got off the bus, bopped off the bus, came skipping up the front yard with little blonde hair bouncing everywhere. He's wearing a scarf. I'd never seen the scarf before. He's wearing a scarf off the bus, coming to the front yard into the door. I said, "Hey, buddy, that's a nice scarf you have." He said, "Thanks." I said, "Well, where'd you get it?" He said, "Do you remember that $7 you gave me to go to the school store and buy Christmas gifts for the family?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I got some really good deals, had some money left over, so I bought a gift for myself." That was the punchline. He thought it was a gift for himself. I got a stone, a rock, a paperweight that said, "Number one dad." He got a scarf from me to him. He thought it was to himself from himself. Christ is a gift for us, to us. Luke 2, 10, 11 says this. The angel says to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." Great joy that will be for all the people, for unto you. Can we say that together? 1, 2, 3. For unto you. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. City of David, Bethlehem. Jesus has been born to us, been given to us. This is personal. It's personal. His peace is personal. This is for each person individually. He is for all the people. Not just a select few, not one dialect, one nationality, one continent, one island. He is for all the people. That's why one reason we are passionate about world missions, because this greatest gift is for Grayson Valley, Alabama, and the West Antilles in the Caribbean Ocean, and Tanzania, and Cambodia, and the Philippines, and Springville, and Odenville, and Trussville, and Birmingham, and Center Point, and Pinson, and Clay, and Chalkville, and Moody, and Leeds. How'd I do? Did I miss you? Aniana, maybe you're coming from a long way. In Jacksonville, Florida, 32277. Do you remember there was a man who was a religious leader? His name was Nicodemus. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council. The Bible tells us this is in John 3. And he comes to Jesus at night. He's trying to figure Jesus out. He had studied the law. This guy was a learned guy. I mean, he knew Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you know, the prophets, the law, and he knew Moses. He knew all that, had much of it memorized probably. He sees Jesus. He sees the miracles. He sees the signs and wonders. He knows there's something different, and he's trying to figure them out. And so he comes to him at night, and he calls him Rabbi, respectful term for teacher. We know that you're a teacher who's come from God. No one could do what you do. You can't heal crippled legs and open blind eyes and raise dead bones out of graves without power. So we see that. We know you've come from God. Jesus says, "I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." He knows exactly what Nicodemus is searching for. Nicodemus, very logical guy, says, "Well, how can you be born when you're old? I'm old, Rabbi. Surely they can't enter a second time in their mother's womb. I don't understand what you're saying." Jesus says, let me clarify it. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water. Naturally, right? A woman's water breaks. They're born of water, and they're born of the Spirit. Oh. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. He says, Nicodemus, I've come for you, that you could have life, not just on this earth, but you could be born again and have forever life, because God's peace is personal. John 16:33, I've told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take part, I have overcome the world. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news to a world that's on fire? Jesus came and eliminated every obstacle between you and him. He knocked down every wall, every hindrance, every interference. He's knocked it down through Christ, and he comes to bring peace. He wants you to be born again. He wants a personal relationship with you, with me. Question. Would there be anything that stands in between you and you fully surrendering to Christ? What's in the way? Jesus says, cast your cares on me. You don't carry that baggage anymore. Lay it down. I'm here for you. God's peace is personal. Secondly, God's peace is territorial. His peace is territorial. Isaiah 9, the second half of verse 6 says, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The government will be on his shoulders. He's the Prince of Peace. There is a kingdom. This kingdom is one that's marked by peace. It's marked by peace. It's a kingdom of peace. Its ruler is the prince of the kingdom of peace, or the prince of peace. So if he's a godly prince, that means he has been appointed. If he's a godly prince, that means he's been anointed. So he's appointed to be the ruler. He's anointed to do the job, and he has the authority within the kingdom to rule the kingdom. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of peace. He has authority in the kingdom. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. He has all the authority. There is a kingdom, and in this kingdom is one that has unique characteristics. The ruler of the kingdom of peace is a unique ruler. The kingdom is different than other kingdoms. It's unique. One of the things that makes it unique is what it's made of. This kingdom is not about military might, or streams, or tributaries, or mountains, or lines, or borders. This kingdom is a kingdom of peace. Its essence and substance is peace. The insignia of office used to be worn on the shoulders. Sometimes we see it across chest. We were just super proud of our oldest son, Luke, who was sworn in as an officer of peace, I guess, in Huntsville Police Department. Yeah, I was super proud of him. And thank you, Lieutenant Roper, Sergeant Roper, Andre Roper. He's the security detail for the Attorney General of the state of Alabama. And we're at the ceremony. I looked over and I see, looks like Secret Service with a suit, kind of talking, like, you know, guarding the Attorney General. And he says, hey, man, stick around. I'll introduce you and, you know, get a picture with him. So thank you so much. And Luke got to meet the Attorney General and of Alabama. Super, super neat guy, by the way, a brother in Christ. You should pray for him. He's got a lot of responsibility, a lot of opportunity. So the kingdom, its essence and substance is peace. So we pinned Luke's bad John. So it's worn on the chest and shoulders. So Isaiah's referring to something on his, the government will be on his shoulders. Okay, that's interesting. What's that mean, prophet? The emblem or crest or badge, the sign to let everyone's rank, you know, your rank, your allegiance, your symbol, your national identity, is worn on the shoulders. And Isaiah said Jesus will be a leader. He'll be the leader of the kingdom of peace, and the government will be on his shoulders. The rule or dominion. Don't think small g. This is way bigger than some local party. Way bigger. This rule or dominion or government will be on his shoulders, a symbol on his shoulders, and he will be identified as a representative of the kingdom. You will know the kind of government or kingdom that Jesus represents by what is on his shoulders. Question. What comes to your mind when you think of a symbol that was carried on the shoulders of Jesus? Cross. The kingdom is a different kingdom. It will have different characteristics than the other kingdom. The kingdom of peace will not be like the kingdoms of this world. The world's kingdom have these territories, and they're marked out, and a land and sea, and there's lines of separation and demarcation and borders. The kingdom of peace will have borders that will extend past every other kingdom on earth. I remember going from Malawi to Zambia. Across the border, and we come across this huge concrete structure, we drive under it, and it says something on it that I can't read. I say to the missionary, I said, hey, what's that? He said, well, that's the old border. I said, oh, well, okay. Well, where's the new border? He said, it's a few miles down the road. I'm like, I bet that's a story. He said, you don't know the half of it, brother. Jesus' kingdom, the kingdom of peace, supersedes all barriers and borders. He is over every political party, every military might, every culture, every language. The kingdom stretches all over the earth. And the characteristic of Jesus' kingdom is led with peace. Peace with God. He comes to bring peace with God, to be the redeemer of your soul, to bridge the gap, right, between the barrier of sin and heaven. And he comes wearing dominion on his shoulders, carrying a cross. You will know the kind of kingdom that he leads by what's on his shoulders. His territory is led with a cross. Peace that passes understanding. Think of the great commandment. Jesus, hey Jesus, what's the biggest thing? What's the main idea? What's the big point? What's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He comes to bring peace with God and peace with others. That's an interesting picture, isn't it? The cross-bearing Jesus said in John 14, 27, peace I give to you, peace I leave with you. Isaiah calls him the Prince of Peace. He's a prince, and every prince has a kingdom. The kingdom that he represents is the kingdom of peace. He's royal. He's appointed. He's fully appointed. Fully anointed. Anointed literally means to rub or to smear with oil. Jesus is about to face the cross. And he's at the home of Simon the leper. And a very controversial thing happens to Jesus. A woman comes up to him with a super expensive ointment, a jar of perfume, very expensive. She pours it on his head as he's sitting at the table. The disciples saw this, and they were ticked. And probably Judas was leading the pack because he was counting the dollars. Most of them anyways. Boom, in the back pocket with a few. Why would you waste this ointment on his head? You could have sold this, given money to the poor. Remember what Jesus said? Why are you bothering a woman? She has done a beautiful thing. She has poured this perfume on my body. She did it to prepare me for burial. She's anointing the Prince of Peace to go to the cross, to lead with a cross on his shoulders. The government will be on his shoulders. He's the absolute ruler of the king, of the kingdom. Cross-bearing, cross-carrying prince. Matthew 16 says it right to us. Jesus says to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must what? Deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will what? Find it. What good will it be for someone who gains the whole world yet forfeits their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? See the picture? The Prince of Peace leads the kingdom with a cross. And everybody who's part of the kingdom of peace also bears a cross. I think the best word that I can think of when we talk about coming to Christ is surrender. I think that's the best word. That we surrender. What will it gain? What will a man gain if he gets the whole world and loses his soul? Like, where's the benefit? Oh, it's done in a couple decades. It's over. But if you come, surrender to Christ, bearing a cross, following him, the kingdom you're part of is forever. It's territorial. It's personal. God wants you to have peace. The key to having peace is to have the Prince of Peace rule your life. There it is. The way I know the Prince of Peace is ruling my life is if I pick up my cross and follow the fully appointed, fully anointed, fully absolute ruler of the kingdom. Sacrificial living opens the door for peace to come in. Did you see? Sacrificial living leads me to live a life of peace. Not just generic sacrificial living, but surrendering to the Prince of Peace. If I live for myself, what can I get? How much can I get? If I think that way, I'm not fit for the kingdom, not this kingdom. I'm part of another kingdom. So if I'm not part of the kingdom of peace, what kingdom am I part of? But if I pick up my cross and follow the Prince of Peace, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, right? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear any evil because you are with me. Because his kingdom is territorial. It spans the universe. Nowhere can I go to escape the love of God. Can I just insert it a little different? I think this is true to the text. Where can I go to escape the kingdom of peace, the Prince of Peace? nowhere. He's everywhere. The key is a surrender. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. This season, don't seek to be served. Seek to serve. Seek to serve. I invite you to help us this week. Be part of the big give. You say, well, I don't know if I can lift 40-pound boxes. That's all right. A lot of us can't. But there's something for everybody. Lay your life down. Bring your family. Bring your kids. Be part of serving. His peace is personal. His peace is territorial. And his peace is eternal. Forever. Isaiah 9, verse 7. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there's no end. Like, it never ends. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. Love how Isaiah wraps this thought up. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Oh, it will happen. Oh, it will happen. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Worship team, come on. An atheist was walking through the woods, and he's observing the trees, and he says, what majestic trees there are. Look at these powerful rivers flowing. What beautiful animals, he said to himself. As he's walking along the river, he heard a rustling in the bushes behind him. He looks back, and there's a 7-foot grizzly bear right there in the thicket, and he's running towards him. The atheist runs as fast as he can up the path, looks over his shoulder, sees the bear's gaining ground. He looks over again, he's right up on him. The atheist trips and falls and looks up. The bear's on top of him, and he goes, oh, dear God! And everything stopped. The bear froze. The forest noise silence. This light shines. This voice comes out of the sky and says, you've denied my existence for years. You teach everybody I don't exist. You even credit creation to a cosmic accident. Do you expect me to help you in this predicament? Am I to count you as a believer? The atheist looked directly into the light and said, you know, it would be hypocritical of me to suddenly ask you to treat me as a Christian. Perhaps you could make the bear a Christian. The voice says, very well. The light went out. The sounds of the forest resumed. The bear drops to his knees, folds his hands. And so, Lord, bless this food I'm about to receive. I'm very thankful. I'll be here all week. To his government and peace, there will be no end. Eternal, right? Eternal. He will rule a kingdom and a peace, and it will be, listen, forever. Every other kingdom and nation and earthly power will fizzle away. Don't be distracted with the affairs of this world. Be informed, okay? Don't be distracted. This kingdom lasts forever. In other words, the kingdom of God is a forever kingdom, right? The leader of the kingdom, pre-existent, co-eternal, third person of the triune Godhead, always was, always has been, always will be. It's a forever kingdom. He's God's own son. Born a virgin, came to the earth, lived a sinless life, sacrificial life, laid his life down. Remember the cross? He did that for you. So that you could live in his peace kingdom forever. That's what he's done. And of his government and peace, there will be no end. doesn't end. It's not a time that it runs out. He's the eternal God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You've heard it said, nothing lasts forever. That's not always true. Some things do last forever. This Prince of Peace and His kingdom lasts forever. So we should think and live with that in mind. If all my thoughts are on things that blow away, what happens when they blow away? I blow away with them. But if I store up treasure in other accounts, eternal accounts, like if I surrender to Christ, follow Him, surrender fully, pick up my cross and follow Him. The peace becomes personal. It becomes territorial, that it rules and reigns my entire being. And it's a forever peace. Like I have an inheritance that's a forever inheritance. If I allow the Prince of Peace. What about you, friend? What's between you and fully surrendering to the Prince of Peace? What's between you? Is there something between you? The truth is, if we were honest with ourselves, we would all say, oh yeah, I see that point, and I've got a big problem because I have sinned. So yeah, I've got a problem. My problem is sin. The question we have to answer is this. Do I have enough resources or capacity to pay for that myself? Or am I going to surrender to the one who's already paid to eliminate that obstacle? Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, whose blood was shed so that I could be cleansed of a few unrighteous things. No, no. All unrighteousness. Don't you see? We're starting to see it, aren't we? We're starting to see it. The Prince of Peace. He's done everything. He's done everything. He's done it all. And what He asked me to do is just surrender to Him. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? And we're here today, a couple weeks before Christmas, and we hear the call. We hear the call of the Prince of Peace. Do you hear Him? Do you hear Him? That still, small voice, that nudge inside of you. He's saying, I love you, man. I love you. I've got a plan for you. Oh, I've got purpose for you. Oh, I've got peace for you. Just lay down your life and follow me. I've got a different way of living, a different kind of kingdom. What about you? If you're here today and you say, hey, Tim, today, I walked in the door and I didn't come in surrendered. I didn't come in surrendered. I need to surrender. Maybe you're watching online at home, YouTube channel or Facebook Live right now, and you say, I need the Prince of Peace. I need him. I want him. The Bible says he's standing at the door. He's knocking. He loves you. Will you surrender to him today? Will you drop all your agenda and say, I want you. He's looking for those who will fully surrender. Maybe you're here and you've been playing a little bit of the church game. You come, you do the church thing, but it's just going through the motions. It's a ritual. And you say, I want the personal peace of God. I want him personally. Isaiah says he's yours. He's yours. He's yours for the asking. He's yours. God gave his son to us. If you're here, you say, Tim, I need the Prince of Peace. I need to surrender to him today. The first call to action, the first application today. On the count of three, just wave at me. Say, Tim, pray for me. Today, I need to surrender to the Prince of Peace. I need to fully surrender to him. I'm done holding back. Today, I'm in. Friend, you don't know if you'll have tomorrow. You don't know if you have Christmas. You don't know if you have next week. Today, the Bible says today is your day of salvation. If that's you today and you say, Tim, today's my day to fully surrender to the Prince of Peace. I want that kingdom. I need that in my life. Today I surrender to him. If that's you in the count of three, just wave at me. One, two, three to him. Three. I need the Prince of Peace. Friend, don't delay. Don't delay. Don't delay. He loves you. Don't delay. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for you. Fully surrender, right? Fully surrender. Yeah. Fully surrender. Fully surrender. King David prayed this, search my heart, O God, see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in your everlasting way. What a great thought. What a great way to pray. He was a follower of God. And he wanted to keep his heart pure. Friend, search your heart. Allow the Prince of Peace to wash over you. Keep you. If you say, Tim, I want to be part of his peace advancing territory. I'm following him, but I know God has more for me. This is a very personal thing right now. I know that God has more for me, and I don't want to just sit on the sidelines. I want to fully engage in this advancing of this kingdom of peace. I know that God has purpose and mission for me, and I'm saying today, Lord, I want that. I fully surrender to that. If that's you, on the count of three, you just say, Tim, I hear that call. I want to be part of advancing the kingdom of peace. I know that I'm not saved just to be saved. I know that I'm not saved to sit in the sideline. I'm saved to advance. And you say this Christmas, God, I surrender my personal agendas, and I say I'm in the game. I'm in the game. I want to be part of the advancing of this peace kingdom. So Lord, use me. Use me. Use me. Use me. I want to be used by you. On the count of three, everybody who says, use me, just lift your hand and say yes to the Lord. One, two, three. Everyone, all across, what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. Everyone all across the room, stand to your feet if you would. The worship team's gonna sing a worship song and we're gonna respond. And I think what we'll do here is we'll just say, this altar is an altar of surrender. Whether you say, you know what? God's asking me to surrender some things to him. I've held back. Or God's asking me to surrender an agenda or a thought. Or you just say, hey, I want to keep myself on the altar of his altar of surrender. I want to be a living sacrifice. That's what I want. Isn't that what you want? I want to be a living sacrifice. I want to be a peace-receiving, peace-bearing, peace-advancing, living sacrifice. And there's power for that. There's power for that. Our prayer teams are going to stand to the far right and far left, not in the middle, far right and far left. If you want to receive prayer by them, they're available. If you just want to come and lay yourself down. Today, you know what I'm saying to the Lord? I'm saying that's what I want. I want to be back on the altar as a living sacrifice. Come on. Come on.
We want to thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to stop by and see us. Our services start at 10 a.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights, with various small groups throughout the week. Here at Life Church, we hope you have a great week.